It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Mark Meckler, president of the Convention of States. You'll want to hear this coming up. First off, Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa on the next big bill.
I think the big issue, and this goes back to Ways and Means, is that you got to look at input costs. And one of the big input costs is health insurance. So this is going to be the next big bill. We're going to try to get it done in the reconciliation part two. But when it, the farming community, a lot of them buy their own health insurance. And it, you're talking $24,000 to $30,000 a year for some of these farmers. So we're looking to lower that cost by making sure we have transparency, making sure that they can pay in cash, making sure there's more competition, make sure we lower pharmaceuticals. All these things are going to be in this next reconciliation bill. That is very, very significant. And that's sort of what's being talked about in the halls of Congress today and the next couple of weeks.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Mark Meckler. Mark is president of the Convention of States. Mark, welcome to the show.
It's really fantastic to be with you. I'm excited for this conversation.
So who is Mark Meckler and what is the Convention of States?
Yeah, look, I'm just a regular guy. I raised my family in the hills in Northern California in a very rural area just above the Central Valley. Not a political guy, don't like politics, don't like politicians, prefer to be around my horses and my dogs and train them. I'm a lawyer by training, so don't hold that against me. But many years ago, back in 2009, I watched, and you and I were talking about this before came on there, I watched a guy sort of go off and rant on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. His name was Rick Santelli, and he was talking about how out of control the federal government was, how unjust it was to regular people, and that resonated with me. I was frustrated, but not engaged in politics. But that rant and the subsequent times that evolved after that led me to start something called the Tea Party Movement. Some of your listeners, viewers might remember that. And I ended up growing an organization called the Tea Party Patriots, 23 million members, 3,200 chapters. And the entire point of the organization was just to empower regular people. I've always found Washington, D.C. and all the politicians and lobbyists and bureaucrats very frustrating. And my goal was just take power away from them and give it back to the people and the states. And so that was my entree into politics. In 2010, we helped swing the largest class switch in history since 1938. In other words, 62 seats went from Democrat to Republican. And my belief was that everything in D.C. would change and D.C. would start listening to the people. I chuckle because I was so naive. By 2012, it was pretty obvious that wasn't going to happen. So I started looking for alternatives. If just voting and just putting people into office isn't enough, then you got to ask yourself, well, what is? What can we do? And it turns out there's a mechanism in the Constitution in Article 5, and it gives us, the people acting through the states, the power to call a convention of states. It's really extraordinary. We've never done it before. You can do it. You call this convention, and in convention, you can propose amendments to the Constitution. And the amendments we're trying to get are things that are common sense to the vast majority of American people. Term limits on Congress and bureaucrats, a balanced budget amendment, spending restraints, tax caps, things everybody wants. And even a limitation on the power of the federal government. I think it comes in to the ag conversation here. Like, I don't understand why the federal government tells farmers and ranchers what to do. If that's going to be regulated, it should be regulated at the state and local level. So we're trying to call this convention, get the states together. It takes 34 states to call it. So far, 20 states have done it. So we're well on our way. And I think it is hope for farmers and ranchers, people who work the land.
Well, and this comes right in the midst of a debate for another farm bill, which, by the way, Congress has a hard time even passing that. We look back to the existing farm bill, which is an extension of the 2018 farm bill. Many may have already forgotten it failed the first time it even tried to pass the House. So obviously this is good timing, but why are you watching the farm bill debate so closely here?
I mean, there's a couple reasons for me, and one is just like personal and emotional. And so I come from a rural area. I have been around farmers and ranchers and cattlemen and horse folks my whole life. And so I have a heart for that. I also, from a political perspective, understand that this country, it was not built by bureaucrats and politicians. I think that's self-evident, but I got to say it today. It was built by people who were willing to get their hands dirty and literally pull this country up out of the dirt with their bare hands. Those are farmers and ranchers and miners and energy people. And I think even in my own lifetime, I've watched those people go from being what I would describe as kind of common man, everyman heroes to being vilified in the media. And it drives me crazy. I think people need to stand up and speak for those folks. If it weren't for them, we don't eat. Our houses aren't warmed. We don't have fuel for our cars. We don't have clothing. Everything that we rely on in this country for the basic necessities all comes from all of those people. So for me, I have a passion for what happens to those folks. And then my son got married recently and he quintessentially married the farmer's daughter. And so we married into a farm family up in Luray, Missouri, up in the northeast corner of Missouri. They farm a 6,000 acre farm up there. And so we've gotten a lot closer to the farming community. We've had a chance to see it up close, to be with our in-laws and talk to them about the hardships they face and the difficulties they face. And I think that most Americans don't understand that. And you ask most Americans, where's your food come from? They think it comes from the grocery store, and they don't understand how difficult it is being a farmer or rancher in today's environment. So that causes me to keep a very close eye on everything going on in Washington, D.C. that affects the farm community.
We're talking with Mark Meckler. Mark is president of the Convention of States. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Mark Meckler. Mark is president of the Convention of States. Mark, let's talk now about something that's happening. We've seen a recession really in the row crop sector for ag. Maybe not so much on the animal side of ag. But we're rolling out a Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. Thoughts?
And I'll be honest with you, I have mixed feelings about that. I don't love big government programs just handing out money to farmers. I was on the phone, like I said, with my in-law, John, today. It was kind of funny. I called him. I told him I was doing this, and I just wanted to get some on-the-ground experience. So literally was out in the field, turned off the tractor to pick up my phone call and talk to me on the cell phone, and then we texted back and forth a few times. All the farmers and ranchers I know, they would prefer not to have to take assistance. These are proud people that work incredibly hard, and they want to stand on their own two legs. That's not to say they're not taking the money, and it's not to say that they don't need the money right now, but they would rather not. These are very independent, conservative people. And so that was kind of his first position is, you know, we wish this didn't have to exist, but a lot of people are getting hammered right now. And I would say, especially over the last 4 years, when inflation is high, when regulations go up, when trade deals are not being struck by the administration, and we had that during the Biden administration, it's just sort of this pincher maneuver on the farmers that makes their lives very difficult. And I think that's what this Bridge Act is all about, to try to sort of not make up for all of it, because it's not going to, but to give them a bridge to healthier days.
Well, and what you've explained here is, you know, we're talking about the financial side of it, but agriculture deals with so many other issues on the regulatory side, Environmental Protection Agency. And I think one of the hot ones right now has been glyphosate. And it gets approved, but yet can still be taken to court, and it's just such a mess for producers. Have you been keeping up with that as well?
Yeah, I have. And I think that's a very difficult issue. And the litigation, I think, is the biggest problem. I say that as a recovering lawyer. The lawyers make a mess of everything. We get decades of litigation around these things. And so not as only is a problem practically day to day for the farmers on what are they going to use? What can they use on their crops? what's the litigation going to do to tie things up? But it's actually just a predictive problem. Farmers are business people, and so they're trying to project out in a year, 2 year, 5 years in advance what they're going to be able to do, what they're not going to be able to do. And the litigation creates uncertainty. So I think that's one thing to be watching for. And I think that the president came down on the right side of this from a pure farming perspective. It was a very controversial decision by the administration. You have the MAHA wing of the administration that was completely opposed to this. Secretary Kennedy was involved in this litigation at the residential level, not at the farm level. And so he was opposed to this. So I think it's a difficult situation for the admin. But I think it's broader than just that issue, than a pesticide issue. It's a fertilizer issue as well. We have a phosphate issue and a supply issue with phosphate fertilizers. I think we have a potential issue, and I would suggest, I would hope that the Department of Justice is looking into the monopoly issue with these fertilizer producers. They're incredibly profitable, and there aren't many of them, and they control the industry. That means they control the prices. Prices have been up for a long time. They went up extraordinarily high during the Biden administration, and they haven't come down enough. And so that's difficult. Part of that is also a tariff issue. And so some of the producing countries that produce finished fertilizer are under the president's tariff regime. And my opinion would be the president ought to provide farm level relief from that tariff regime on phosphate fertilizers, because that will relieve the pressure on the farmers. You know, right now, I know farmers who are not putting phosphate into the soil, and that's going to mean a lower yield, right? It's a better financial deal for them to not have to buy that. That's a very expensive item on to the bottom line of farmers. They don't put it in, they get a lower yield. Prices go up. Those prices go up. That affects the consumers. So I think there's a big complex picture here. And there's one last piece, and you mentioned it, and that's environmental regulation. These things get tied up for many, many years, decades sometimes. There's a great example going on right now in Idaho. The Caldwell Canyon phosphate mining project was just reapproved. It had been approved. Then a court stepped in and killed it. So many years later now, it's finally been reapproved. That's a 40-year mine. It will produce probably 30%, roughly 30+% of the phosphate that's needed in the United States of America. We need to improve the permitting process and the regulatory process around all things that relate to farming. This is how we get to food security in the United States of America. And I think, Tony, this is something that goes beyond just farmers and their financial situation. Folks got to eat, and what they eat comes from the farm. And the cost of what they eat is affected by things like the price of phosphate fertilizer. It's affected by the price of fuel. Right now, fuel's gone up. When fuel is up, everything on the farm is more expensive. That means the food that you and I will buy in the grocery stores will all reflect the cost of that fuel at multiple levels. So these things that go on in the administration, tariffs, foreign relations, the war in Iran, the regulations around phosphate, all of these things come together in farming and have a very complicated, but it's seemingly always an upward price effect on the cost of doing business.
Talking with Mark Meckler, president of the Convention of States, on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Mark Meckler, President, Convention of States. All right, Mark, if we want to keep up with the Convention of States, where do we go?
Yeah, folks can go to conventionofstates.com, and there they can get all the information they need about it. They can click and sign the petition, which will let their legislators know it's time to call a convention and restrain the federal government. They can volunteer, or they can follow me on X, just at Mark Meckler.
This is so interesting. Again, it's Mark Meckler, President, Convention of States. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Darren Kopic, CEO, Ag Retailers Association. How switches between administrations can wreak havoc.
And not just on this issue, and probably even more so on the Waters of the U.S. rules. Because you see one thing get established under the Obama administration, and then it's whiplash to the first Trump administration, a totally different approach, then back to the other side during the Biden administration and back over to where Trump was the first time with his new administration. It's hard to deal with that kind of whiplash and create a plan that's going to be durable going forward. I really hope that they're able to do exactly that, to come up with something that's going to be legally defensible, practical, easy to understand, so that farmers don't have to hire engineers to see if their land is a water of the U.S. or not. But it seems like, at least for the last 15 years, WOTUS has been the gift that keeps on giving and may continue.
It's the Agribusiness Report.